see. So with that, we'll turn the meeting over to Brother Hersher.
Thank you, brethren. It's our privilege to bring the love of your brethren at Phoenix to you and a few of these special messages that you asked. Brother and Sister Kashmir in Tucson asked to have their love conveyed. They were in Phoenix recently. And Brother Paul and Sister Vi Cooper from Boise have been with us for a time. And our daughter and son-in-law in Grand Rapids, Janice and Don Highway, Sister Reba Merrill of Phoenix class, and Lloyd and Janelle Gaddy, also of Phoenix, and Mikolai and Becky Grugin of Phoenix asked to have their love specially conveyed to the convention. We've been enjoying the blessings of fellowship and the word spoken at this convention already. And so Sister Hersher and myself, we're thankful for the privilege of being here. A safe journey here as we pray for one another, all of us I know, and for the convention as we know of their planning. And we're thankful for the assignment of this subject. I don't know how well we'll be able to bring it to you, but we're thankful for the study and the privileges. I hope we'll be able to convey some of the things, because it almost seems so large that we don't know how much of it we'll be able to bring you. But as we are, most of us, I'm sure, familiar with, that the Messiah and prophecy begins really early in the Scriptures, because we believe it's significant in the words of the Lord to Eve after the transgression in Eden. And it was at that time, within Genesis 3 and 14, and 15, we read these words. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now it's rather interesting. It uses it that way. You notice the woman, he says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and under thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. But the promise was that I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Well, we know that the brethren have already spoken of Abraham's seed, and in Galatians, the third chapter, thy seed which is Christ, and so forth. But also in the fourth chapter of Galatians, the apostle explains to us that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his seed made of a woman. You find this in Galatians 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And of course, we realize that both Mary and Joseph were of the line of Abraham. And it was by that arrangement that God brought forth this seed, this promised seed, that would eventually bruise the head of the serpent and in due time usher in that kingdom for which we've all been taught to pray. But here it is mentioning there for us. Now, we look forward to these things. And then, in that same opening chapter of the Bible, when we come to the 49th chapter, and Jacob's blessing of his sons, there we have another reference. You notice, and as we look at this, and we'll look at the 10th verse, Genesis 49:10, and he's speaking about Judah. Now, he's mentioned several of the other brothers, sons of Jacob, Reuben, and Simeon, and Levi, and so forth. And he comes down to Judah in the 8th verse, "Thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up?" Now, yes, our Lord stooped to conquer, didn't he? And the Lord raised him up on high. And then the 10th verse, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come." And Shiloh has a thought of rest and peace. "Until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." And so we see here in the fulfillment, here early in time, the prophecies of the one who was to come, unto whom the gathering of the people would be. Then we remember the text in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, and there we'll read verses 15 to 22. This is really a Bible study, because we're seeing how these things are alluded to in the Scriptures. Deuteronomy 18, beginning with the 15th verse. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me." These are Moses' words to the children of Israel as they were preparing to enter into the land. And he was recounting for them and encouraging them and exhorting them to be faithful and obedient children, that they might long be upon the land. Well, they didn't hear all of that, did they? But nevertheless, it was given to them. And like a wise parent, he gives the instruction to the children beforehand, and then hopes that they may learn the blessings of experience as they experience the experiences of life, sometimes brought on by a measure of disobedience. "Like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." And you remember that these are the words of the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, in those familiar texts in Acts, the 3rd chapter, from the 19th verse on through the 22nd verse, in which this is quoted. So these things were alluded to, the promise of the promised one to come. And dear brethren, as we consider these things, we realize that we have not followed cunningly devised fables, as the Apostle Peter tells us, but rather this is the word of the Lord, which by his own honor and namesake he has promised that he will accomplish and bring to pass. Coming to Matthew, the 2nd chapter, and we find that Matthew seems to give us the most instances of calling attention to these promises in the Old Testament more than the other disciples. It's so given. A number of times he calls attention that it was the fulfillment of the Lord's word. In Matthew, the 2nd chapter, we find in the 6th verse, Matthew 2:6, and it's a quotation from Micah 5:2. So the chief priests and the scribes, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, Herod had assembled them and was trying to get some information. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, this is Matthew 2 and 5, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. Bethlehem and Judah. You see, that's in harmony with what he said in the promise to Judah, way back there, the son of Jacob, in the 49th of Genesis. You remember that then Herod, of course, tried to search out for the young child. Not because he had any good intentions toward him either, because he was afraid of what this promise said. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And of course he realized that that would be the end of his job, or so he thought at that time. And then in connection with that, we find in the 15th verse, further there. And so they were warned of God, Joseph and Mary, that they were being sought for the young child. And they were given instruction of the Lord through a dream to Joseph to take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And then he arose and he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod. And then, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now, of course, these things, we wouldn't know anything about them either, except that they've been recorded here for us. And that was in Hosea, the 11th chapter, in the first verse. But that was a prophecy concerning our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, that put them out of reach of Herod, because that terrible thing took place, of course, when Herod found that he was mocked because they couldn't find him. So in the 17th verse of that second chapter of Matthew, it says, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was heard a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. Now we'd like to turn for a moment to that in Jeremiah the 31st chapter, because with it is a great promise for us. This condition, Jeremiah 31 and verse 15, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. That was at the slaughter of the innocents, when Herod had all those 2 years and younger destroyed. And this was prophetic of that condition, and it is so applied and given to us in the New Testament for our corroboration and strengthening of our faith, the fulfillment of God's word. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy, yes, from the great prison house of death. And that's our hope. That's our hope for all. And as we see the trouble and the things developing in the world, let us have the faith to receive these things. The faith of Abraham. You remember what Abraham's faith was when that son that Sarah was to have, that they waited 25 or 30 years for, and then after Isaac was born, he was told to take him up in the mountains of Moriah and offer him for a sacrifice. And what was Abraham's faith? He told the men that were with him, this is in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, he told the men that were with him, you stay here with the animals and we will go yonder and worship upon the mount and we will return unto you. The Apostle Paul taught that in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and also in the 4th of Romans. He staggered not in unbelief. But Abraham's reasoning was, as he explained, that though they had waited for this son, and Abraham, who was ready to be faithful and obedient to slay that son, but he had faith that he who had provided that son when he and Sarah were beyond the age staggered not in unbelief, but he realized that if he had provided that son by miracle working power, he could also raise him from the dead to fulfill his promises in him. For he said, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." That's the faith we need as we see these things coming upon the earth. "We have not followed cunning and devised fables, but the word of the Lord. Let us heed it and realize." Nope. I don't want to get into another subject. But none of us, not even the Lord's people, no aggregation of nations, no one can help the world of mankind out of the problems that are theirs until the work of this age is completed, because it will need God's help through the Christ. Who can set aside the condemnation to death? Who can bring life from the dead? In whose book of remembrance is written all that have died upon the earth and can bring them back? For too long have the peoples of earth, under the misleadings of both Christian and non-Christian religions, believed that somehow God could provide a perfect abode someplace else where there would be peace and harmony and life and so forth everlasting. For too long have they believed that and have not recognized that he could do it here on the earth where it's needed, where he promised that thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is, let's say, to accent it, already being done in heaven. But that's what he's saying. That's our hope. He can do it, and he will do it, because he's promised it in his own name. "For mine own name's sake," not even for Israel's sake, though he chose him, but he's going to do it according to his word, that all his children may have confidence and trust and hope in him, that he is a covenant-keeping God, that he is a loving and wise and merciful creator, and that all will have an opportunity to be benefited from Christ's righteous rule. None is equal to that but the one to whom God has given the power, and that will be the Christ in glory, principally the head, of course, we know. Always will we hold the head and appreciate that. As Brother Zano said so many years ago, you remember that the high priest had the mitre and the, like a white turban, and then on the foreplate of that there was a golden plate inscribed "Holiness to the Lord" and so forth. And what did the under priest have on? Well, they had bonnets on. They had bonnets on. Brother Zano accented, he said, "Brethren, keep your bonnets on. Keep your bonnets on. Just remember the Lord's the head of the church." Such good, wholesome advice for us. Counsel to do. But let us go on. We have to watch the time here a little bit. Fleeting moments, and that's the way our life goes by. And just think, for a few short years, the Heavenly Father will reward us so greatly and so generously, if we are but faithful. But let us go on. Out of Egypt he called his son. Now then, in the slaughter of the innocents, that was mentioned in Matthew 2 and 17 and Jeremiah 31. Now then, in Matthew 12, verses 17 to 21, we find reference also to this prophetic word. Matthew 12, verses 17 to 21. We're kind of have to paraphrase and hustle along. Now, in the 14th verse, it says, "The Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him." That was Jesus, and so forth. Because he had healed one on the Sabbath, on the Sabbath day. And this is something our Lord saw so clearly, and they saw so little. And they asked the question, is it lawful to heal? This is verse 10. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? And he asked a question then. He says, "What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out?" Why, of course they would. "How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days." How clearly he saw things. He got right down to the nitty-gritty motives, didn't he? And the right things and the proper things. Yes, instead of straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. So then he healed the man. And then they wanted to destroy him. And so Jesus withdrew himself, and they followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." Isaiah 42 and 1. "He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, shall he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust." How wonderful. There's wonderful these fulfillment of his word. Then in Matthew 13 and verse 14, we read, now here it was, he had been speaking to the disciples, and the 10th verse says they came to him. He'd been speaking in parables. In the 10th verse of chapter 13, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries or the sacred secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." And then, skipping down to the 14th verse, he continues in the 13th verse, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive," in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9. And there is others there, Ezekiel 12 and 2. And we might take a moment to look at John, the 12th chapter. In verse 37. Here he had been doing miracles and works and so forth. In the 31st verse of that chapter, 12th chapter of John, he says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world," and that's Satan the great adversary, "be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. And the 37th verse says, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he said, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And you all recognize that as Isaiah 53rd chapter, don't you? Yes, let's turn to that just a moment. Isaiah the 53rd chapter, wonderful prophecy concerning our Lord. And we'd like to mention in that connection, "Who hath believed our report," in the first verse and so forth. Yes, they didn't recognize or appreciate him, we see as the 53rd chapter continues. The 5th verse says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were we healed." Yes, because he took the sinner's place, didn't he? He died as a sinner. He who was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, the Son of the Highest, Jesus Christ the Righteous, he took the sinner's place and died on a cross as a sinner for all the rest of us, for all the sinners. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation?" He had no children or offspring here. for he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Now, we're not using anything in the Psalms because you know you have symposium tomorrow. You're going to be four brethren. They're going to be speaking about the Psalms and the Messiah and the Psalms. And we look forward to that because Jesus said that all things in the law and the prophets and in the Psalms, that's in Luke 24 and 44, I think, would be fulfilled. So now, you brethren, I expect a little fee commission there for that commercial for your symposium tomorrow. Do that. But we aren't going to say anything about that. So this wonderful chapter, but we would like to mention something in this. And let's see. Got to watch the time. So we want to mention this. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, you've been hearing about that here, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now there's the hope of the resurrection, of course. He was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised for our justification, as Brother Larry Davis brought out, and as Brother Bleachers brought forth. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant. Knowledge of what? A true comprehending knowledge and faith and trust in the Heavenly Father and in his word. And as we consider these things, let us realize how much our Lord was guided and strengthened by the word. You remember how when Satan approached him, it is written, it is written, it is written. And as he saw those things being fulfilled in his own life, and he had been told about his birth and his conditions by his parents and so forth, and Mary kept these things in her heart as she saw some things taking place. At 12 years of age, he was in the temple asking questions of the scribes and the Pharisees and the rulers there. And he knew that who fitted this, all these prophecies concerning him but himself. Don't you think he needed that? Wouldn't he think, my gosh, am I beside myself to thinking that I'd be that one? Well, of course. And so we saw these things. Then let us be strengthened also. This is one of those where it says he's going to share with the body members of the Christ. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Yes, the sharing. There are some number of these. Another one, we might turn to that for a moment. In the 51st chapter of Isaiah, we're close by it here. Let's look just a moment. Isaiah 51, and here this has been called to our attention by Brother Burton when he spoke on the 40th Psalm. First verse of chapter 51. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Yes, out of a pit. You know, it says, out of the pit, and he placed their feet upon a rock. And you look in the margin, it says, a pit of noise. Yes, a Babylon of confusion. And we've been lifted out of that to learn and believe the word of truth that's revealed the character of our God and of our Lord and Savior to us, and also of his will concerning us. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah, yes, the Abrahamic promise, and the Sarah feature of that Abrahamic promise, that bear you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. So we see and appreciate. In the fifth verse, then, it says, and this is one that includes the body members, hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms, plural, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me. Yes. And the apostle tells us, doesn't he? You shall judge both men and angels with our Lord and Savior as a head. Mine arms shall judge the people. And then In the 10th verse of the 52nd chapter, it says, "The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." Yes, his arm. And then when we come to Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, we'd like to turn there for a moment, because these show the participation of the body members. In the 23rd chapter, he speaks of our Lord, particularly. The 4th verse tells us something. It's very clear. It says, "And I will set up shepherds," plural, "over them which shall feed them." You remember how through the prophet Jeremiah, he tells about those that had not fed the people. They taught error in the name of the Lord. And he said we shouldn't pay attention to it. "And I will set up shepherds," plural, "over them which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel no longer a division between the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes. And Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." And then in the 33rd chapter of Jeremiah, words quite similar and yet different. The 15th verse of Jeremiah 33 says, "In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of my righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called." Now, the bride now. Here was he, his name would be. "She shall be called," what? The same name. Sure, she takes the name of her beloved, the bridegroom. "And the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness." The same name that he would have. How wonderful are these things, and these particulars that are given unto us. Again, another that I think we rejoice in is just a few words. And you know what it is, if I mention Obadiah. In the beginning with the 17th verse says, "But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance," that's Obadiah 17, "and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions." And then it goes on to show that the power would be restored to them and they would prosper. And we know that eventually these problems between the Arabs and the Jews, between the Muslims and the Christians, will be settled. And it says, "And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau," that's Edom, "and they of the plain, the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south." And then this last verse, "And saviors," plural, "shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." What wonderful promises these are. And Amos 9:12 is another one that takes time to read. And so we see these things. May we have the faith to receive them. In in Matthew 13, verses 34 and 35, our Lord was speaking to them again, as we mentioned in parables. Those things that were hidden and kept secret from the world. But you remember what the apostle tells us in Colossians, the 1st chapter, in the 26th verse, that those things which had been hidden from ages and generations have now been made known unto whom? Unto the saints, the holy ones in Christ Jesus. Those justified by faith, as the brethren have brought out. Those that have come into covenant relationship with the Lord. Those accepted by in Christ the Beloved. justified and spirit begotten when accepted into the beloved, drawn of God. Even Jesus knew that. He says, none cometh unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, as we find in John 6 and 44. So we appreciate these things and realize and how that will glorify the Heavenly Father's name when all these things become known. In that regard, we do know that the types of the law were, while they were types, but yet they were prophetic in the sense that they illustrated these things. You know that in 1 Corinthians 10:11, the Apostle Paul tells us all the things that happened to Israel were for examples upon us, and the ends of the ages have come. In Romans 15:4, they were for our blessing, that we might understand those things. And the work of this age, the consecrating of the priesthood in Leviticus, the 8th chapter. That's a wonderful chapter. It tells about the work of this age and the consecrating of the greater priesthood, of which Christ Jesus our Lord is the head. In Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, in the latter part of that chapter, verses 20 and on to 22, he's the head of the corner. He's the chief cornerstone in which we are all built up into. And there, we're told that he would do these things. We're all God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and developed that we might participate in this work. Jesus in Daniel, the 9th chapter, of course, 25 to 27, he was cut off in the midst of the week. Yes, of that 70th week. Cut off, not for himself, but for the redemption of Adam and all his race. Wonderful prophecies fulfilled. Isaiah 7 and 14 and 15. Let's look at that for just a moment as we close. Precious promises of the sending of this promised one, which means so much to us. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, or God with us. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Yes, butter has, you know, vitamin A, so forth, and honey is also a symbol of the word of the Lord. Yes. Fulfilled again. And 9, 6, and 7, precious ones that are so often quoted, especially at the holiday season, and yet so little understood in reality. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. May the Lord help us to see and appreciate, and may we pay heed to these words of our Lord. In Luke, the 21st chapter and the 36th verse, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. To the glory of God, we pray and give thanks through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Hersher, on those thoughts concerning the Messiah and prophecy. I always marvel when we look at the scriptures pertain to our Lord, and those prophetic examples and lessons we have, they're a real blessing to us. We appreciate your thoughts, Brother Hersher. A couple of announcements. Somebody wanted me to let you know, if you don't, that there are desks, tops, I guess, in these chairs that can roll out. I think most of you probably have figured that out, but we thought we'd make that announcement. I guess it makes it handy for your books and what have you. The other thing is that if you are writing a card or letter to someone, be sure that you address an envelope with the first and last name and address and attach that to the letter. It'll be pretty hard matching first names to addresses, so that would really help out if you do start a card back there. That's our final announcement. Brother Hersher has asked that we close with hymn 183, Watchfulness, and we'll rise on the last verse, and we'll let Brother Hersher dismiss us for prayer.
Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus, our beloved Lord and Master and our Redeemer, by thy grace and by his loving and willing obedience, we come to thee to give thee thanks. Thankful that thou hast called us out of darkness into the light of thy glorious truth. Help us, our Father, to walk in it, and that we may walk and conduct ourselves in a manner pleasing to thee, that we may continue to rejoice in the sending forth of thy word, and to realize that it is through that that thy glorious character will be made known in due time when you fulfill all thy gracious promises and give that needed help to the whole world of mankind through that Christ whom thou hast prepared. Forgive us for our shortcomings and our weaknesses, and help us to be forgiving and understanding toward others. Lead us in the paths of truth and righteousness for thy name's sake and for our great benefit, we do pray. And we pray and give thanks in the precious name of Jesus our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen.